Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ah, yes. We're all hoping the fix is in. The lottery is in Chicago, so of course the Bulls will get the number one overall pick. That's how it works, correct? Make sure he's turn my mic on. Yep. Beautiful. Thank you.
But I want to, before we go there, let me make something very clear.
Yeah. Will Perdue in studio.
And I'll group us together on this one. We don't need anybody else's help looking bad. You do that on your own. I do that on my own.
Physically or with radio?
Both.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
It is good that your guys got your back.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
As they're shoving chocolate chip cookies in their mouth.
Yeah, well, hey, it's a radio station. Well, we're not finely tuned athletes. If we're not eating unhealthy food, we're not really doing radio.
Well, they said they're actually doing a comparison between Chips Ahoy and what was the other one?
Oh, Blind Taste Test.
Matt's Cookies.
What was it again?
Matt's.
Matt's.
Well, thanks for including
it's
me.
It's not really a blind taste test because we could see the packaging.
Mm. Well, you're just doing a taste test.
It's your preference, regardless if you can see the packaging or not.
Radio's the best.
That's
isn't
just
it?
Like I always wondered, how can you possibly not tell the difference between Pepsi and Coke?
Right.
They're so significantly different. We did a blind taste test.
Yeah, one is good and the other isn't. And people were saying, by the way, Parkins, that interview with Al Morrow was not uncomfortable. However, your second conversation with Zach LaVine, very uncomfortable. That's true, because he had just woken up, and I will fully concede and said so at the time. That was an uncomfortable conversation.
Shake out the cobwebs, baby.
That's right. Well, first of all, Will Perdue, are you in this 10-part Jordan 30 for 30 that's coming up?
I hope so, because if I am, then obviously there's some residual checks that should be coming my way.
I mean, 10 parts on your guy, Mike.
Well, I think that tells you still how people are so enamored with him.
Yeah.
That to this day, I mean, and don't tell me his last game was, you know, with the Wizards was the following. His last game with the Bulls was, what, 90?
98.
Yeah. So we're going on 20 years.
Yeah.
And people, and I promise you, this 10-part series will probably be some of the highest rated 30 for 30s that they'll have, period.
Yeah. I laughed when I saw the news today because they did 5 parts on O.J. Simpson and race in America.
Hey, I ran into O.J. Simpson the other night. How about that?
Thank you, Brent Musburger. 5 parts to tackle race in America and the trial of the century, but MJ needs 10 parts.
And that's what I'm interested in, because how much of that is actually going to be basketball and how much of that is actually going to be off the court stuff?
Yeah.
Because it's the interesting thing is I can only imagine if there was social media back then the way there is now. Listen, the guy was a god, but at the same time, the media protected him. And because nobody wanted to be on his bad side, because the last thing you wanted to be was ostracized from getting comments, quotes, being trusted by him. So they protected him. I mean, I'm not saying the dude was a bad dude, but he also wasn't an angel. But at the end of the day, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they actually show and if any of that is actually stuff that was not public knowledge prior to this 10-part series.
What are you willing to tell us about that?
Well, one of the things I always enjoyed was that since gambling is all over the news now, we all know how he loved the gamble, but he also had the second time through the league after baseball, he had all the security guys travel with him. But we used to joke because the security guys actually worked for free because he paid each one of them. But I think it was written in their contract that they had to play cards with him, and they always lost. So basically, he paid them, and then they basically just paid him right back when they lost everything when they played cards on the road together.
Jordan's security detail had it in their contracts.
I'm not saying it did.
Yeah.
But basically, it was, and we all know the guys, and they're great guys, but we would see him on the road. You'd never see him at night because MJ hardly ever went out. He had everything come to him, and they would just sit in his room and play cards all night. And we would go to shoot around, and you'd see one of the security guys, and Mike would be bopping up. And you knew he was up late when he was bopping around talking trash because that's how he got himself going. And then we'd see the security guys and be like, yo, man, what time did you guys stay up playing cards till? He goes, well, I think I called it a night about 4:30, and he was still rolling and, you know, full steam ahead. Like, we got a game tonight. Yeah, he'll just sleep during the day. He'll be fine. And then he'll go out, and I remember, where were we? Charlotte dropped 38 on somebody, and we win by 25. I remember when I got traded to San Antonio, and one of my first meetings with David Robinson, I basically fly down, I get traded, I fly down, basically get on the bus. We're taking the bus from San Antonio over to Austin to prepare for training camp. David Robinson sits down, looks at me, and he goes, Michael Jordan has a deal with the devil. I'm like, what are you talking about? They had just done the Olympic team.
Yeah.
Where everybody knows the whole story. I mean, those guys basically slept 2 hours a day.
Right.
I mean, they basically gambled all night. Then they basically went back to the room and showered, put on their practice gear, went to practice, came back, put on their golf gear, went and played golf, came back, went and gambled all night. And that was cyclical. And David Robinson was like, there is no way a man can sleep that little and still be that productive on the basketball court. He's got to deal with the devil. It's the only way it'll work.
Yeah. Or
or you're just that good.
Or you're just that good. What, like,
one of the things that people don't realize is, you know who was his left-hand man when they were over there? Chuck Daly, apparently, was just as active and vibrant as he was regarding the gambling and the golf.
That's probably one-tenth of the 30 for 30, right? Like, one whole part should just be the Dream Team experience.
I would think that they would have to address the fact that the rumors that he was forced to retire because of his gambling issues.
Do you think that's true?
I don't think so. Because I don't think the league... I think they felt like they could have, if he retired, they could take the hit, but I don't think they would ever force him to retire because of what he meant to the league. And this is what I'm gonna tell you. Did he gamble? Absolutely. Did he go to Vegas? Absolutely. Did he go to Atlantic City when we were in New York? Absolutely. But I never, as an individual, saw it affect his game. And as Charles Barkley always says, if you can afford to lose the money, is it really gambling?
Right. Oh, I'm not doing a value judgment on the gambling at all, but I do think that it would have been perceived as him being a problem gambler in today's times.
But I don't. To me, it wasn't a problem gambling. I think he had a competition problem.
Yeah, he was a competition-aholic.
Exactly. And part of the thing that people talked about, oh, man, he had to write so-and-so a check for $100,000 because he finally came up to somebody when he was on the golf course when he would say, hey, let's double it. Let's triple it. Let's quadruple it. And then you just see guys crumble.
Right. I'll play for whatever amount of money makes you uncomfortable. It was the famous Jordan line.
And then his thing was, you know, the first 10 or 12 holes, pick it up. That's good. Pick it up. That's good. All of a sudden, you get to 15. You're like, yeah, you might want to putt that. And you're like, it's 2 feet. Yeah, go ahead and putt that. And then a guy misses. And then all of a sudden, the guy goes from a couple thousand up to a holy cow, I'm down what? And then they're like, hey, just out of curiosity, you want to double that? And he found, every once in a while, he'd found somebody that could bank the same amount he had, but also knew they were better than him and beat him. This is a true story. So I know everybody loves the Jordan stories.
Yeah.
So I had a guy that was a former PGA player, had won on the tour, and I knew that he could beat Michael Jordan. Because even this guy, when I'd moved to Louisville, he was living in Louisville, he would always ask, how good of a golfer is Jordan? I said, he's not really that good. It's just that he knows how to press other people's buttons so they crumble. And I said, I guarantee you could beat him easily by 10 or 12 strokes, easily. He's like, really? I'm like, you did play on the PGA Tour, correct? Yes. You did win tournaments, correct? Yes. He can't even compete on the tour. I said, I tell you what, if you feel comfortable, I'll bankroll you in a match against MJ. He'll gladly take the match. We'll clean his clock, and we'll make enough money to set us up for the next couple years. He's like, really? And I'm like, absolutely. He's like, all right, man, I'm going to start practicing. So he started practicing. He came to me on the range one day in Louisville. He was like, dude, I'm ready. My last four rounds were 67, 69, 70, 66. You call that you know what, and let's go play.
So you are going to bankroll a former PGA Tour golfer against Michael Jordan.
Yeah. And then I make a few phone calls. I'm telling him I got it in the works. And then all of a sudden one day he goes, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, I just can't afford to lose the money. I said, you're not going to lose. He goes, but what if? I said, all right, I'm out. He goes, why are you out? I said, because you already have doubt. And the fact that you have doubt, I'm out. Because the fact that you have doubt before you even step on the first tee, you're going to lose, period. Because he's going to sense that. He's going to slowly chip away at that. And the next thing you know, I'm going to have to buy you an adult diaper on like the 16th hole. And this is done and over with.
How much were you willing to stake on this guy?
100 grand.
Whew. In what year is this?
This was back, I had only been out of the league 2 or 3 years. So early, like what, 2003, 2005, man. Something like that.
All right. So Jordan's old though at this point. He's in his 40s.
Yeah, but he's still, you know who he is.
Yeah.
But everybody's just my God. But I'm like, he just loved to compete. That was the bottom line. The dude loved to compete. And sometimes you can say whatever you want, whether you put a dollar on it. You know, I mean, trading places. What was the bet?
$1. We'll come back short with Will Perdue before we have the senator. Senator Steve Stadelman, who is the chairman of the Gaming Committee in Illinois, will join the show at 3 o'clock to talk about legalized gambling in Illinois. We'll get some more stories from Will coming up next on The Score. Will Perdue in studio. You're going to hear him throughout the NBA playoffs here. McNeil and Parkins on The Score, brought to you by Casper Sleep. With a 100-night risk-free trial, you can discover how Casper has become the internet's favorite mattress. Go to Casper.com today. Everyone loves those Will Perdue stories. They love the Will Perdue stories, I'm sure. But yeah, it's the Michael Jordan stories by Will Perdue that everybody loves. What is your opinion of the impact that the legalization of sports gambling will have on current day athletes?
It means they'll make more money, period. Because every league, there's a reason why Silver has been on the leading edge of this, because he knows that it'll increase the amount of money that the league has. That means the salary cap will go up. They won't have to rely so much on TV revenue. They'll be able to increase player salaries. It's a win-win at the end of the day. And I do, like we just talked about, I think that you can consider gambling a disease just like an addiction to alcohol or drugs.
Sure.
But there's also positives to it, because what do the studies say that the approximately how much tax revenue will be generated by this in all the states?
Yeah.
How much tax revenue was generated by the legalization of marijuana in Colorado? It was over $1 billion, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was in the hundreds of millions per year. But yes, in terms of what it's been since they instituted it, it has crossed the $1 billion.
So if that means that you as a individual living in the state of Illinois means that they have because of that, they'll have the ability to lower your taxes.
Or just figure out ways to waste more money. But yeah, it's obviously a good thing. Tax revenue is a good thing,
right?
Especially if it's something that people are doing already. We're pinched with time.
Yes.
We got the state senator coming on in 10 minutes to talk about it. But let's get some thoughts on the NBA playoffs quickly. Do you think LeBron comes back and wins this series?
This is I do. But to me, it's not up to him. Up to this point, I felt like it was up to him. I think that their margin for error is now so small because of how well Boston is playing as a team. But that can change with one game. Cleveland comes back and wins this game tonight. They've done exactly what they wanted to do, at least win one game and take away home court advantage from the Celtics. Because the one thing that they've talked about is, well, for us, it's not that important. And even if they lose tonight, all Boston's done is hold home court. And Cleveland goes and wins there, too. It's all tied up. I made the mistake of going against LeBron. Never bet against him, but I've said, hey, you know what? I just don't know if he can do this by himself, and he's proven me wrong and everybody else. So the question is, how does Love play? How does J.R. Smith play? They just don't have that room for error that they have had in years past and in series past. Because everybody's like, well, what about Toronto? Toronto wins that first game, and then all of a sudden their mentality is totally different. But I truly believe that Toronto went in that series not 100% sure they could actually win. And then when they lost that 14-point lead and lost game one, they were done. Boston, they think they can actually win this. Even if they lose tonight, that's not going to affect their confidence one bit.
And then in the Western Conference, I am rooting for a long series.
Over.
It's over. You think it's over?
Yeah, I felt Houston had to win that first game to prove to them and their fans that they really could win. There's one thing asking for something. This is what we've asked for. This is why we have home court advantage. I just, when I watched that game last night, as competitive as it was, and it was competitive.
Yeah.
At no time did I sit here and feel, threatened that Houston was actually going to win the game, even though they made a run at the end to cut it to four and even tied the game, because they rely so much on Harden and Chris Paul, and they have so much isolation. And the fact that when, whether it's the Hampton lineup, the killer lineup, whatever you want to call it, they can switch everything, that causes a problem for the Houston Rockets. And at the end of the day, the Rockets' offense can score enough, but I just don't think they can stop. Their defense cannot stop Golden State. And at the end of the day, it's not just the Rockets that can't stop them. Cleveland can't stop them. Boston can't stop them. That team's just too good.
They're 25-3 in the playoffs with Durant, and they've never gone to a game six.
And
Steve, this is just ridiculous.
And Steve Kerr made an honest assessment. These kids, they were bored during the regular season. They were looking for challenges. They understood how good they were. Now that the playoffs have started, and we did this when we were in Chicago, they're refocused, they're re-energized. They're a totally different team. And it's just, I mean, to me, it's fun to watch, but I just feel sorry for the opponents because they give you a false sense of hope. And that's what Michael Jordan did. They give you a false sense of hope for three quarters, and then they tighten down the screws, and you're like, damn, I thought we had it there for a minute. And then you look across, and you're like, oh, yeah, they got that guy.
And for Golden State, it's, oh, yeah, they got those guys.
But at the end of the day, who's actually – and I'm curious to have you tell me, who's the best player on the court right now in that series?
Durant.
Exactly.
Yeah. Durant's the – Harden will win MVP. There's four Hall of Famers, I think, on the court. CP3, Harden, Durant, Steph.
I think there's six.
You think Klay and Draymond both are in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Just because of the team winning?
But I think also if Klay – if Draymond leaves, maybe not, because I don't think he's going to have the same impact on another team. But I think Klay Thompson could go to another team and he'd be the star.
Yeah, he's incredible. Star. He's incredible. We'll talk to you soon, Will.
You got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.